Okay, we're ready. Oh, well, a quick announcement. This is class 6 of 6 four of four for Samsara and Nirvana, and we will then take a 2-week break and start How to Develop Bodhicitta on April 18th. April 18th through May 23rd, and Dr. Don Brown will be teaching that one. So be sure to register for either online or on-site participation. And if you are planning to come on-site, just make sure you read through those COVID precautions that we're going to be doing, still with the mask and things like that. You no longer have to upload your vaccine card. We're doing that on the honor system. All right, so without further ado, I'll turn it over to Steve.
Yeah, so this is our last night of samsara. Wouldn't that be nice? And, you know, there will be, at some point, if we keep moving in the right direction, a last night or a moment of samsara. So just think about that, because it's, you know, it's not out of the question. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Although there's not very many people in the Gampa, just for folks at home to know, I used to give tests on the last class, but I'm not giving a test. I didn't even mention the word test, so I'm not sure what happened to everybody, but maybe they thought that was happening. So for those of you at home, how many of you, is this your first class, first time showing up for Samsara Nirvana class? Okay. One, at least I see one hand. Okay. So we're going to do some review anyway, but first we're going to set our intention, because that's what we do. We try to focus on our reason why we're here and, you know, start with yourself. Like, what is it that you're hoping to accomplish in this class and this night in particular? You know, what is it for yourself? And then expand it outwards, that as you achieve that goal of more wisdom, calmer personality, less stress, more skills, more ways of dealing with delusions, that will affect all of those around you. And so include them in your motivation until eventually your motivation is the highest that it can possibly be, that as you free yourself, you are able then to help others find the same way out. And then Linda's going to read the Refuge and Bodhicitta prayer 3 times.
Okay.
And each time you're expanding the prayer to start with the wish that throughout samsaric existence, you know, that you will be able to accumulate what's necessary to free yourself, so that each lifetime is the perfect lifetime to keep accumulating the karma necessary to get out. And then the second time is that you're able to actually get out of samsaric cyclic existence. And then the third time is that you're able to have complete enlightenment that includes all other beings.
Okay. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened, to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened, to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened, to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings.
Okay, and we're going to do a meditation, but I just first want to review a little bit, since we're not doing a test. But I want to go over some of the main points that we covered in this class. And one of the first ones was renunciation. That a lot of what we, the very way to get out of samsara, is the gateway out of that, after refuge, is renunciation. And then we redefined renunciation. You know, it sounds so austere. And the technical definition of renunciation is the aspiration wishing to attain liberation, wishing to attain freedom from the continuous cycle of rebirth under the control of karma and delusions. So right now we're under the control of these seeds that we've planted throughout beginningless time, and we're going to talk about delusions in a minute. And so renunciation is actually the wish to attain liberation. We also talked about how it does not mean going away from the world, that we often think that renunciation means, okay, I can't go to the movies, I can't touch this, I can't eat that. And it doesn't mean going away from the world, it means knowing the world goes away. And so as you really realize that, you relate to everything in a much different way. You know, you relate to everything as though these things, good and bad, are the tools that you need in order to liberate yourself. So your approach is really different. So that, and then, you know, in all the tankas that you see on the walls, all the statues of Buddhas, you'll notice that there's like these, I wish I could just hold one up. But they're basically, the very first thing under the Buddha is a lotus. And the lotus represents renunciation, which comes out of the muck and the mud of samsaric existence. And actually, we need a really juicy samsaric muddy existence in order to develop renunciation. I think there's a story about Shariputra, who was, you know, Buddha's attendant, and he was so evolved because of all the incredible work he'd done and being around the Buddha. And after the Buddha died, this is a story I heard from someone. So one of the teachers said, then, you know, one of the people around him was really trying to aggravate him, really trying to get him annoyed or jealous or whatever it was. And when Shariputra asked him why, he said, because you need it. You need it in order to finally liberate yourself. You need that, you know, uncomfortableness in order, because it's in those uncomfortable moments that we find liberation from them. So I remember Geshe-la always telling me that a winter jacket, it holds the liberation from cold when it's cold. In the summer, it's just suffering. But if you look at your winter jacket and it's cold outside, that jacket has the power to liberate you from cold. So likewise, when we're suffering from what they were trying to annoy Shariputra with, then in that moment is also the door to liberation from that suffering. All right, so we talked about that, and we talked about how delusions are. And the definition of delusions, again, is the mental state that makes the mind unpeaceful. And that there are basically six root delusions. Attachment, which I also kind of renamed as clinging, because this language of ours isn't perfect, so you can use other words that might help you a little bit. So clinging, grasping. Anger is the second one. Also, you can include aversion under that, you know, wanting to just get away from what you don't like. Pride, which is our inflated sense of whatever, you know. Ignorance, what we don't know, and living under that ignorance, all the things we do because we're ignorant of something. Unreasonable doubt, you know, unreasonable doubt. And then wrong view, which we're going to talk about in a minute. And then we spent classes talking about the antidotes to these delusions, what you can apply to start chipping away at them, because they have deep roots because of all of our lifetimes of habits developed on those delusions. And everything that we can do, even though we might not be completely free of it, it's chipping away at its hold. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. But let's go ahead and do a little meditation on anger. It's pretty prevalent. You can even see it in the Oscars. So, you know, the delusion of anger, when anger takes over, it's got a very, you know, like all the delusions, they come in as our best friends. They come in trying to convince us of something, and they do a pretty good job. We are totally convinced that they're right. And the other thing I remember, we'll talk about this a little bit more too after the meditation, is that our delusions don't age. Unlike, you know, if I was a soldier, just because I'm a human being, I would age. The war would age me. I would get tired. I would get injured. Our delusions don't. They actually get stronger unless we start applying antidotes, applying some speed bumps, do some work to make them weaker. So they come in you know this, you know, you're say, you know, like that person I was saying at work was kind of annoying to me, then definitely in my head, there was this voice of this part of me was like, yeah, you know what? She did this and she did this and she did this. And it's just like this other person who did these things and I'm not going to take that. And, you know, this whole thing starts to get even 1,000 times bigger. It's not that it is not happening. It's not that I'm making it up, but I'm adding on to it. I'm adding the angry part of me is coming in and whispering in my ear and kind of churning me up. And that way, because that angry part is a really loud voice, I'm not hearing any other voices that I might call on for help. So some of these meditations are, how do you start to apply some other voices? And we talked about being kind to the parts of you that you're struggling with and treating them like children that you care about. So if your child who you really cared about, or say your mother, suddenly picked up a gun and was waving it around, you would want to disarm this child or your mother, whoever it was, because you love them. You know, if it was a stranger, you might have some different feelings, but it's because you love this person that you would want to disarm them, and you would do what you could to disarm them. So in the same ways, we need to be gentle with ourselves as we try to disarm and reduce the power of our delusions. All right, so let's get into a comfortable, not too comfortable, but a proper meditative position. Check your posture. If you're sitting in a chair, make sure your feet are flat on the floor, facing forward. And tuck your chin a little bit so that the back of your neck is not breaking the line of your spine. And close your eyes or keep them gently open. And again, take some deep breaths in and out and feel the weight of your body on your chair. Bring all of your awareness to the fact that you are here, wherever it is that you are. And become aware of the sensation of the breath flowing in and out. When distractions arise, notice them. They're helping you get stronger in your focus, but try not to engage them. Just gently bring your attention back to the breath. It might help you to count your breaths. So I'm going to let you do that for a little while, and then I'll guide you through a meditation on anger. And then again, feel yourself sitting where you are, in your chair, your cushion, and think, here I am with a precious human life and all the opportunities to free myself from suffering forever. Not only that, but if I use my life well, I'll create the conditions to attain enlightenment and become a source of perfect benefit for others. However, right now I'm easily overcome by delusions. Before I know it, instead of helping myself and others, I am giving harm. Or I'm creating negative energy and seeds. One moment I'm fine, and another moment I'm feeling angry. I'm paralyzed with this feeling out of control. I must find a way to reduce these delusions and secure peace of mind. I need to find a way to support my compassionate parts, my compassionate wish to be of benefit. And therefore, I'm going to meditate on the delusion of anger and aversion, because I am the laboratory, my own feelings and experiences are what will help me. So thinking of anger as a highly disturbed aspect of the mind that arises when we experience something unpleasant. How has this delusion been operating in your life? Recall the kinds of situations that trigger anger or aversion for you. If that's too huge a topic, then just think of the last couple of months. What kinds of situations trigger a strong feeling of anger or aversion? When this arises, what does anger feel like in your body? Can you feel different areas of your body responding, holding, getting hot, or do you leave your body? Awareness is always a good thing. So what does anger feel like in your mind when it arises? And what kinds of things do you end up saying or doing when anger is dominant? It could even be to yourself. Just take one or two of them and think about these questions for a few minutes. And what kinds of suffering have you experienced or created for yourself as well as others because of anger? Consider the suffering that you and others create when anger drives you to express harsh words, or divisive speech, you know, like gossiping and speaking badly about others, or physical or verbal abuse. You can watch what you've seen others do or yourself just to understand how out of control anger can push us to be. Is it possible to be happy when you're angry? Is that happiness? The good news is there are antidotes to anger. And the traditional ones are to meditate on the shortcomings of samsara. You know, that these delusions are what keep us spinning through samsara. So taking time to meditate on the downsides, that are as long as I'm in samsara, I will have to experience these kinds of unpleasantnesses. Why not use this energy to get out of samsara instead of creating more suffering by getting angry? This helps our aspiration, our perseverance. We can meditate on karma. Is it impossible for me to experience this unpleasantness if I had not created the cause? With whom should I be angry? This person or myself for having created this earlier? If I get angry, I will just experience worse suffering in the future. And there's a difference between getting angry and feeling unhappy about the situation. Anger is when that voice really takes over and you can hear nothing else. And then you're creating negative karma through your body, speech, or mind. It's okay to have feelings. We meditate on patience. If we can catch it before anger takes over, if we can see that wave rising up, we can say, this is my chance to practice patience right now. Here it is. This is my chance to apply the antidotes. This is my teacher manifesting to help me so that I can expand my patience for myself and all those around me. I'm not going to waste this chance. We can meditate on compassion. Because of dependent arising, because of the laws of cause and effect, this person who is annoying me, angering me, harming me, will experience much worse results in the future than I. How can I be angry with them when they will only suffer terribly? They are completely possessed by the unpleasant parts of their mind. You can meditate on the emptiness of the object. Try to find the essence of the thing that you are, about which you are angry. What exactly is it that's causing your anger? Is it a permanent thing? Does it exist? How does it exist? Okay, and then slowly open your eyes. We're going to expand on that meditation towards the end, which is a very short class. I'm going to try to cram all these things in there. But any questions that rose up from that before I move on? No? Okay. All right, so there's so many tools that we can use and get familiar with to apply in challenging situations. And, you know, you know better than anybody else in the class or anybody else in your whole world which ones are more challenging for you and at which times. It may switch around, you know, one day or one moment, anger is more challenging. Later on, it might be clinging. So there's so many different things that we In fact, most of the things that we're studying in Buddhism are methods for reducing the delusions. When we talk about the mind training texts, that's absolutely a tool that we can use. It's not just what we're talking about in this class. I'm sure you've all have heard that kind of classic Buddhist analogy of the sky and the clouds. And so as you're, you know, experiencing a strong feeling that you don't want to follow, then you can think of it as a cloud. Now you're not hating the cloud. You just know that it's not the entire sky, that actually the nature of your mind is the pure, unstained blue sky. That's the nature of your mind. So clouds are going to come in and out. And when you're experiencing a negative emotion, a negative feeling, and this is tempting you to follow it, creating that awareness that it's like a cloud, and then which do you want to identify with? You know that the cloud is going to shift and change and rain and move, and the sky isn't. So it's just one way to kind of, again, not get so enmeshed with that feeling that you're having. Another, you know, and absolutely meditating on the downsides. Do I really want to follow this? Venerable Rabin has talked a lot about thinking of your mind as like a garden. And so, you know, I always wonder why are the weeds so able to grow so fast and so quickly? They're so clever. They can send out a little shoot right under that piece of concrete and you can't really get it out by the root. But my plant that I love and paid all this money for and tend to like a little baby, it just doesn't do the same thing. So it's like our negative mind is like that. It's very clever. It's like a weed and it's growing these roots deep and through the concrete and up over there. And it just seems to be able to withstand everything. And the precious parts of our mind that have the flowers and the fruit are things that we have to tend to so much more carefully. And we have to care for when it gets cold outside and we have to water. That's what we're doing. And we may get frustrated because the weeds seem to be taking over. So I think it needs a lot of celebration, self-celebration. So I know I gave you all homework last time to think of something easy that you could start with, something you could have some guaranteed success with. So I also did this because I was like, okay, I'm talking about it. I got to do it. And when I'm late for work, I get like frazzled. And then I'm mad at everybody on the road. So I was like, okay, this is an easy one because I really don't know them. You know, it's just, I'm not driving that long. I should be able to catch myself before I can feel that in my body where I'm now kind of frantic. And so I did. I caught myself all the time and it felt so much better when I was like, wait a minute, I have an option here because I hadn't lost it. Right. And then find a way to reward myself. And by reward, I mean rejoicing in your success is really important because something about our minds, we see the weeds way before we see all the work that we're putting into the garden. So really taking time to rejoice in our efforts, because it's hard. It's hard work. Okay, so I want to show this clip, but I want to set it up first. I have another movie to show everybody. This is maybe like a 20-year-old movie called The Beautiful Mind. Does that ring a bell for people? Anybody seen it? Okay. You have? Okay. Anybody online? Okay, so it's based on a true story about the mathematician named John Nash, who was a brilliant mathematician. He was the first mathematician, I believe, to win a Nobel Prize for science. And he contributed to what's called game theory, which is not about video games. It's really, I could extend there, but it's really about I was reading this trying to get, because I'm not a mathematician, but it's really much more about, it's about economics and how if everybody's competing for the same thing, everybody's blocking each other and you can't achieve that goal. And then your second best choices are also not really readily available. So if you take what your self-interest and combine it with the group self-interest, there's more likelihood that people will get enough of what they need. And that's also the heart of mediation, which is what I do. So anyway, that's just a little background because it sounded so dharmic when I was reading about it. So John Nash also suffered from schizophrenia, and it was at a time when there's not very much medication or help for people. And he really, so part of the clip that we don't see is he was hospitalized earlier for this, and I think given shock treatment. And, you know, it's, and again, not, there's nothing really they could do beyond that. So now he's married and has a young child. The thing is, in his mind, he sees three people external to him, and they're 100% real to him. These are his delusions. And one is a young girl. I think her name is Marcy, and I'm just saying that because he says something about her in the video clip that I want you to know. So he's Marcy is this young girl. Then there's like a man a little bit younger than him, and then there's a middle-aged man. And they're all telling him things, right? And it's, again, it's 100% real to him, just like our delusions are. Just like when I said, you know, we all have different levels of dementia. So he's already been treated for this. And I think now, you know, he's in his family. He has a baby. I think his wife feels like everything's fine. And when we're going to come into this clip, she's hearing some noises coming from this shed in the backyard where he has a workshop. And so then, this is kind of the climax of when he realizes that he is having delusions, because she's been trying to help him understand that these three people don't actually exist, that they are his mind. I mean, they exist, but not to everybody else in the world. And they, like our delusions, are whispering to him about what to do and wreaking havoc in his life. So it's just like a 5-minute clip, and then we can talk about that.
I can see him because of the chemical that was released into my bloodstream when my implant dissolved. I couldn't tell you, it was for your own protection. Alicia! No.
Hello, I need Dr. Rosen's office, please.
You've got to stop her, John. You leave her out of this.
Who are you talking to?
It's not her fault.
John.
She'll compromise us again.
No, she won't.
You'll go back to the hospital.
John, answer me.
Countless people will die.
Alicia, please, put the phone down.
I can't let that happen.
Yes. Hello. Hi, I need Dr. Rosen. Is he in?
I'm sorry, John.
No!
Alicia,
You know what you have to do next. She's too great a risk.
Get away!
I didn't mean to hurt you.
Finish her. She knows too much now.
Uncle John?
You take care of her, you pathetic piece of shit, or I'll take care of you. John, I'll trust John. Please, do what he says.
Move, soldier. Now.
Uncle John.
John, please. Now!
Mission Charles and Cortez are finished. Mission Charles and Cortez. Mission Charles and Cortez. I understand.
She never gets old.
Marcy can't be real. She never gets old.
So, am I on? Yeah. So did you hear what he's saying at the end? You know, when he's having that moment in the house, he's having these flashbacks to all the times that he's in the movie you've seen too, these delusions, the girl and the man and the young guy. And what he's realizing is that they never age. And so now he's having that same kind of wake up moment that Helen Keller did, which is like, oh, I was living in darkness. And like the movie with Helen Keller, 90% of the movie and a good deal of his life was trying to reach that very first understanding of, oh, you know, I'm suffering here. That's what we talked about. Hold on, I want to get this one note. Before about that, the way Maitreya talked about the Four Noble Truths is the first noble truth, the truth of suffering, is their sickness is to be known. So that's what we also have to kind of wake up to. Like, and this is why I'm saying it's individual. Each of us knows where we are, you know, suffering more, but there's a sickness to be known. And that's what he, to his great credit, could realize that. That's a really, really hard thing. But because I think he was such a genius, he could see that these beings that were so real to him were not aging, just like our delusions don't age. And then immediately there's a cause. There's a cause of the sickness which has to be abandoned. And then the third noble truth, so that's the second one. And the third one is the aim to abide in the happiness. And the fourth is the medicine to be relied on. So that's one way of looking at it through this kind of medical perspective with Buddha as the doctor. So here, just like with Jane Eyre, you know, once that first one is there's a realization, the second and third come pretty quickly. Then he knew in the movie, he knows that he has to abandon these interacting with these delusions, that that's not helping him at all, and that his wish is to get free from them. But because, again, there was no medication back then, what he did, at least in the movie, is he keeps talking back to them. So they're right in his life, in his face all the time, holding his hand, you know, shooting him. They're right there. And so then what he starts to practice is trying to abandon them, not listening to them. He argues back at them. He goes, I know you're not real. I'm not going to listen to you. You've never helped me, you know. So there's different ways to talk back to our delusions. I talk to you all about one thing that I like, which is to, like, because I don't have it that extreme, to be compassionate to parts of myself and say, of course you're upset. Of course, like in the situation I described at my job, of course you're upset. This is difficult. This is challenging. And to have compassion for that part of me that's freaking out, that works good in my system, because then I can put it to the side and say, okay, it's okay, calm down. Now I'm gonna ask for the wiser part of myself to come in. For John, he fought back against them. And eventually what you see in the movie is they're, instead of being right here in his life, they're like half a block away. They're still there. And some days he has to fight harder with them, but they're not involved in every little part of his life anymore. So I found that hugely inspirational. And, you start to see Dharma everywhere. So like that, we need to find different antidotes that work for us. So I want to get us back to, back into our meditation. I want you to think about now a specific situation that you want to redo in your mind, at least. You know, again, don't make it the most challenging one on earth that you've had, unless that's what you want to do. But I would say make it something more, this is a practice one. So make it something that you can have some success with in practice. So again, kind of losing your cool with somebody you wish, or even it just bothering you. You maybe didn't even say anything or act, but he just sat with you too long and it destroyed your moments of happiness. So again, get comfortable, kind of check in with your breathing, check your posture, set your motivation. And then go back into the moment that you would like to redo. And take a look at it as though it's a movie you're visiting, 3D movie you're visiting. And feel your body in that situation. Were you in your body? Or were you disembodied? If you're in your body, where were you feeling this anger, this annoyance? Just feel physically what was going on. What was your breathing like? Was it shallow? Were you holding your breath, your jaw, shoulders? And then what was going through your mind? What messages did you hear? In what ways did you amplify those messages or feed those messages? What were the delusions that came in like best friends? What were they saying to you? What were they reminding you? And now kind of rewind to the beginning of that event. And see if this time as you play it forward, you can see as the wave starts to rise up in you, the thoughts, the feelings, before they take over. See if you can notice, oh yeah, this is what's happening in my body. These are the thoughts that are coming in. Here is my chance to apply an antidote. And I want you to experiment with a few to see what helps. You're not dismissing your feelings. You're challenging the truth of them. The the right that they have to take over. You're trying to cast some doubt. It's a balancing act, so you're trying to put more in the other side now. So take a few minutes to see what works best. Meditating on emptiness, on patience, compassion, arguing back. What works best for you in this particular situation? And then slowly come back to the present moment and congratulate yourself on even trying this exercise, regardless of the result. And since there are way more of you all online than here, I'm going to ask Linda to put you in a couple of groups of like four each. So that you can, or whatever makes sense, Linda, three or four each, so that you all can talk. I want you to talk, just share your experience with each other for a little bit. I like to get people in groups, but it's been such short classes. So, introduce yourselves and then kind of hear what your experiences were, what worked, what didn't work. You might pick up a new tip or two from somebody else, and then we'll do the same here. And you just have like 8 minutes. And you'll have to unmute yourself when you get in your group. All right. Okay, so we are a group of four, five. Anything you want to share? Any thoughts? What worked? Oh, good. Oh. Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Right. That's great. Yeah. Traffic's such a great opportunity. When I give myself that, when I just break it down to like this ride rather than all times in the car, you know, it's like, okay, this ride to work, because it's so minor, you know, and I want to have some success. I want to grow this. But sometimes what helps more than that is to think of like, you know, say somebody does something really stupid on the road. I'll think of like, oh, that could have been my mom, you know, when she was having trouble driving, or that could have been, you know, just to think of different people.
Right.
Yeah. Just create a different story rather than the one that's so dominant. Yeah. 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 Anybody else?
I think, Lee, I think the folks on YouTube can hear us, and so we'll include them in our group. So do you mind speaking through the mic? I just thought of that.
All right.
I was thinking about how I just got married a year ago, and right after I got married, I had 3 major surgeries on my colon. I ended up having a really deep wound, like a really awful wound. And in the hospital, they were like, well, you're going to have somebody come in, a nurse come in and pack this twice a day. And I mean, my insurance wasn't going to pay for that. And, you know, and my husband was like, no, I'm going to learn to do that. I'm going to do it. And he has no nursing background. But I will still, like, even now, after all he's done for me, I still have these crazy moments where of paranoia where I don't trust him. I see him in some negative way. And then I realize, oh, my God, it's like, and he's like, I don't understand. Why? How could you see me that way? Like, how could you still not understand? You know, like, that's not who I am. And it keeps coming back. It's kind of, it's just so weird.
Is it specifically around the wound that you don't, the trust thing gets triggered?
No. I mean, that was just an example of how caring he is.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
And that even after all that, I will still make up crazy things in my head. And I still, even after I tell myself, okay, I'm never going to go back to seeing this again this way, now I understand, I get it, it'll still come back.
Right.
But I haven't found it.
Yeah,
Dharma practice definitely helps.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, you know, like, okay, so every time I get in the car, I mean, I'm just going to make it really simple and mundane, but like, every time I get in the car, I have to, it's never gone, you know, my challenge. I'm not really a road rage person. I'm just using this as an example that, it gets better, but I still have to apply the antidotes and knowing that it worked once, you know, and then also being kind, like something that that helps me. I don't know that it helps anybody else, but I'm just sharing it in case it does. It's the part of me that's, say, suspicious or paranoid or worried to try to, away from that, the person that's triggering it. I talk to it. I talk to it as though it's a living human being. And I'm like, well, what do you want to tell me? And sometimes it has a really clear message of what it wants to tell me. And I listen to it like it's a child. And so maybe it has a story about where this first started. So then once I understand better that, oh, of course, and then I'll say, of course you feel this paranoia or suspicion or doubt because of that. Okay, now I know better how to check it out with this person. Or you might know better things to ask him so that you don't have to do this battle in your head. You know, so... If I am afraid of the dark, then if somebody comes in the room, I want to make sure I know who it is. I mean, my fear of the dark may never go away, but I can work it to say, hey, can you turn on the light when you come in the room so I can see it's you? Right? It's just a concrete thing so I can reduce that. And so when we have this thing that other people are triggering, then we can ask them, hey, you know, this is me. It's mine, but can you do X, Y, and Z so that I don't go into this terrible place, you know, and maybe he'll be like, oh yeah, okay. Or you can develop a language with yourself. Like, okay, this is when it happens. This is, you know, red flag.
bringing that awareness to it and talking to that delusion like it's
right. Instead of trying to just make it go away or get mad at it, you know, having self-compassion, like I have this thing. I have fear of the dark. It's not just going to disappear because I don't like it, but I can find ways to make sure it doesn't get exacerbated. You know, what can I do to make sure it doesn't get triggered and that other people don't trigger it?
That's great. That's very powerful.
And that's why sometimes people have nicknames for those parts of themselves with their partners, like, oh, so-and-so is showing up now. They give you a way to collectively to work on that part of yourself, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, let's bring back the groups. Neely, did I ignore it? Okay. Okay. Yeah, they can click to come back earlier if they want. So I'm going to give them they're busy. Yeah, it's hard to get all that in 8 minutes. So, okay, bye-bye. I'm going to ask them to kind of give kind of short report if anybody wants to, and then we'll wind up. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for letting us put you in breakout rooms. Anybody want to report briefly on if that was helpful? It was? Okay. We also had a helpful conversation here. I see one person saying yes. Anything you want to share with the bunch of us? Or just give us a little, like, unmute and say something. It's so weird talking to a bunch of boxes. Oh, nobody's going to.
Hi, this is Nico.
Hey, Nico.
Hi. So we had a range of situations from recent daily to very old experiences to just basically how these feelings arise within our bodies.
And was it helpful to kind of do this redo and see what you can apply?
I think so, yes. Though okay. My mind went to a very distant one. I was not able to control it, and that was a very sad one.
Yeah.
For which I have deep regret. So I don't know if it stayed in the parameters of the exercise, but sometimes you can't control that. But
also maybe you know that that's the one that you want to practice towards a redo. And sometimes like in I think even it's okay, like some of the ones that I do, I'll call in because it's my imagination now. So when I do a redo, I can call somebody in and help me in that moment. You know, I can call in the Dalai Lama. Come and help me with this. What can I do differently here? We can't go back in time, but we can know now from what we're learning now what we could have done differently. And this is why I really encourage us to start with the ones that we can have some success on.
Right.
And then even in our imagination, we could go back and like, because the good thing about regret is that it builds this promise not to repeat. So we can purify things that we are unhappy with that we did in the past. That can be purified 100%. And then the regret allows us to make a firm promise that we're not going to repeat it. And then we have all this time in between to kind of practice with Okay, what would happen now if this arose? What would I do? So that's the point that I want to kind of leave you all with, is that, you know, we can find things every day to build these muscles and practice with, so that when the really hard ones arise, we'll have more tools. You know, in my job, sometimes I'm referring survivors of domestic violence to an agency where they can get what's called a safety plan, so that if a worst case scenario arises, they can be safe and they can get to safety. And I would say it's kind of like that with our minds. You know, like, we need to also create our own safety plan for when our delusions arise. Where's the escape? And, you know, in the worst case scenario, we just buy time. So, like, if I was Will Smith, I could go back in time. I would have walked out of the theater, you know, just walk out, just get away from what is stirring up all of this negativity. There's nothing wrong with buying yourself time. If you've caught it early enough, then you can apply all kinds of antidotes. But if it's taken over, now you need to kind of remove yourself, you know, if possible. So, you know, we know ourselves. We know which things we need safety plans for. And we have some time to kind of try to prepare. And, you know, I know people who say, look, if I text you this, can you remind me of that? You know, we can ask each other for help. And just don't give up, and don't doubt that what you are doing, even if you relapse, is making a huge difference. It's making a huge difference for yourself and others. So let's take a minute to rejoice in all the effort. Like, how many other people in North Carolina tonight are sitting around talking about this topic, you know, talking about their delusions and samsara and how to get out and how to help others get out? And so that alone you can rejoice in, that you're spending this hour on a Monday night diving into difficult territory and doing the work. And that all of your efforts of body, speech, and mind to get here or get connected and to share with each other in groups and to think about this topic and to work on it and make progress is their seeds that you've created, very positive, virtuous seeds. And dedicating them means that you are directing how they're going to bear fruit. I've talked before about you can join them with the merits and the seeds of all the holy beings, all the incredibly generous people on this planet. You can join your merit with theirs so that it just magnifies. It's just this whole river of merit. But ultimately, we're wanting this merit to ripen so that all obstacles between us and our liberation from samsara and our complete enlightenment are eliminated, so that our pathway is swift. We can escape. There will be a day that's our last day in samsara. There will be that day. And all the regrets that we have and the slips that we have are energy on the path. And it's not an accident that we are studying this material, that we have a center to go to, that we have a teacher who's very qualified to help us. And so rejoicing in the fact that we created these conditions and our efforts tonight, let's dedicate this merit and say the verses, Shantideva verses on page something or other. 32 or 34. And it's just a way to, again, kind of focus what we are dedicating this towards. Yeah.
May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food, may the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may these never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then, may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world.
Thank you all. And this was, again, the last class. So I think next class is on bodhicitta. Is that right?
Yes. So next class does start April 18th, and it's How to Develop Bodhicitta with Dr. Don Brown, and that will run for 6 Mondays. So April 18th through May 23rd. Be sure to register for it online at kadampa-center.org. And the easiest way is just to go to the calendar in the top, click on the calendar in the top right corner, and then find April 18th and Discovering Buddhism. And again, you can register either for online or on site.
It was a pleasure to meet you all online, wherever the camera is. And it was a pleasure, and I'll see you all around.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you.
Great job.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's good seeing you. Hope to see you again in a couple more weeks.